Nearly 1,000 libraries in the United States are located inside prisons. 100 years ago, American prisoners might get Bibles and religious tracts to read in jail. Today, they could be reading anything from Stephen King to John Grisham. The fortunes of prison libraries have waxed and waned with prison reform movements. In the 70s and 80s, there was money to buy books and hire librarians. Today, as politicians call for no-frills prisons, some states have eliminated prison libraries. Still, in many states, when you build a prison, you build a library, just as you'd build a dining hall. And many prison libraries don't feel that different from those encountered in the outside world. NPR's Margot Adler and producer Marisa Peñalosa prepared this report.
The road leading to the Maryland Correctional Institution for Men in Jessup is called House of Correction Road. It's lined with trees and almost feels like a road to a country club. But after you pass the guard and the complex comes into full view, there is no question that you are visiting a prison. Several gray, warehouse-like buildings sit on a vast, barren piece of land, with thick, double-barbed wire surrounding them. Security towers overlook the view from on high. But despite the metal detectors and the barbed wire, once inside the library at MCIJ, the men's medium-security prison, it's possible to forget where you are. Even though there is a prison guard standing outside the room and another inside, it feels, well, just like a library anywhere. There are about 6,000 books. There are bulletin boards with announcements. There are people wearing ordinary clothes, reading, writing, using computer stations, and walking up to the circulation desk. What is different is that all the patrons of the library are men. And on this morning, all of them are African American, although African Americans comprise about 70% of the prison population. Behind the circulation desk is a striking-looking man. He has glasses, a black braid down his back, a beard. If you had to stereotype him, you'd say he's an intellectual. Montes Montesir is the circulation clerk, a coveted 38-hour-a-week job at the prison. He's a Muslim, converted while in jail, and he's in for murder.
We usually process around 100 to 185 books a day.
And can I ask you how long you're in for?
Yes, I'm a lifer. I have a life sentence. I've been locked up now for 19 years. Believe it or not, when I first came to prison, I had a sixth grade education. And libraries have helped me greatly. I use the library for research. I use it to learn how to write essays. For my GED, which I got since I've been in prison. Now I write poetry and essays.
What does this computer allow you to do? I see.
This is a checkout where you enter a P number. I would give you mine, for instance.
Another inmate, Craig Brooks, shows me the magazine section. I notice the prison does not permit Playboy, but there's quite a selection.
People magazine, Newsweek, Maxim, the Rolling Stones, the Ebony.
I see a lot of business magazines like
yes,
Black Enterprise.
And they really read them. The Money magazines, the Ink magazines, they're very popular.
In fact, I see one prisoner perusing a volume on how to start your own nonprofit corporation. And another inmate tells me he's been spending his spare time studying the stock market. Again, circulation clerk Montes Montesir.
I think they're trying to educate themselves. It's a lot of guys becoming aware of they need to better themselves. They can't leave with the way that they came into the system.
Corrections Officer Laura Blankenship stands near the circulation desk, observing the inmates.
A lot of them just come up here to talk to their buddies, see their buddies that are on the other side of the jail. But you have a lot that do come up to do work. And then you have a lot that just come up in the morning time just to sit around and pretend like they're reading or what have you.
There is another view of prison libraries, the one in the movies. Libraries are places where escapes are planned and weapons are hidden. Officer Blankenship says that some of the men are doing worthwhile legal research, but most others are goofing off. There is a basic tension between the goals of a library and the goals of a jail, between a belief in the free flow of information and a belief in the need for security and control. Brenda Vogel was the coordinator of the Maryland Correctional Education Libraries for more than 20 years. She is the author of Down for the Count, a prison library handbook. From the inmate perspective, Vogel says, going to the library is the one prison activity that has no coercion involved.
They're doing it voluntarily, they're doing it because they want to do it, and there's nothing that they're going to gain from it. There's no money involved, there's no good time credits, there's nothing. It's for their own good.
Vogel says most correction officers are not heavy library users in the outside world, and many are working class people who are somewhat undereducated.
So it's very difficult for them to understand why somebody would want to use something that they themselves would not have any interest in using.
But most prison administrators see libraries as useful. Dr. William Sondervan is the commissioner of Maryland's Division of Correction.
Inmates that are working, that are going to school, that feel good about themselves, that have access to libraries and those kinds of things, are more passive. They're not out assaulting your staff or trying to escape or otherwise engaging in criminal or other illegal or undesirable behaviors.
As attitudes toward prisons and prisoners have changed, views on books for prisoners have shifted as well. 100 years ago, crime was seen as sin, and books as a way to morally uplift criminals. In the 1970s, during a wave of prison reform, a number of Supreme Court decisions gave prisoners access to law books and legal counsel. Congress provided money to buy books and hire professional librarians. Now the pendulum is swinging once again. Recent court decisions have said prisoners have no right to a library, and some states have cut back and even eliminated library services. Prison libraries continue to have support in Maryland, but they could always be the victim of the next budget crunch. Nearby MCIJ, the medium security prison for men, is the Maryland Correctional Institution for Women. The library there is an open, airy room, painted pink with a skylight. There is a pot of fake daisies in one corner. The library has 7,000 books. The shelves are low, so you can see over them. The librarian, Nancy Dysart, is tall and cheerful, wearing a skirt and a yellow top. Dysart says her budget for new books was only $800 this year, and she described the condition of some of the books as sad, noting one paperback bestseller that had been checked out 107 times. Dysart says she tries to make the library seem as normal as possible, not an easy task.
So we have the bookcases shaped like they are, so there's no place for people to hide behind. And I've got 30-some keys around my neck. But we try very hard to treat them as regular people.
The prison houses about 800 women, those with a year to serve and those with life sentences. The most popular books here are fiction bestsellers, Walter Mosley, Stephen King, Maya Angelou. Arletta Moore, who says she grew up as an Army brat and served in the Air Force, has been here 8 years, convicted of second-degree murder. She has medium-length brown hair and freckles, and she says books have always been her escape.
I was reading Nancy Drew at 10. Wrinkle in Time was my favorite book.
You read science fiction?
Without a doubt. I'm a Trekkie. Still am.
There's a middle-aged white woman reading about the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and a much younger brown-skinned woman looking up something in an encyclopedia. Nancy Dysart, the librarian, notes that hardly any of the women are doing serious legal research, even though some of them have life sentences. Many male prisoners first encounter a prison library when they do legal research surrounding their case. Not so the women, she observes.
Far more come to the library because they know we have the JCPenney catalog. And it's, if you're an inmate, you're only allowed to order clothes twice a year. But you see, there's our Maryland Law and Disc over there, and no one is sitting at it. In a men's institution, you know, there's a line.
She wonders if the women are more passive or resigned, or it's just that many have shorter sentences. While there is a computer room where some women are working on their resumes, it is the men who seem on a larger quest to transform their lives. Back at the men's prison, Adio Nasor sits at a table dressed all in red. Red sweatpants, red sweatshirt, shaved head. On his table is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He's reading it for the second time. Another man who became a Muslim in prison, Nasor describes himself as a first-time offender who was convicted of first-degree assault.
I came to the library daily, looking up cases that were relevant to my case, typing up the petitions that were necessary for me to submit to the court.
So you're saying that
the library and the law library and the law facilities here really helped you direct what you had to do.
Yes, tremendously.
What books have been particularly important in the last 3 years?
One outstanding book that I really love is a book called Awaken the Giant Within. And it's a very good book which tells how to, in so many words, to quicken the spirit within and become self-motivating. You know, get up and get going and, you know, get a life for yourself.
There is something surreal about the normalcy of these conversations. But when you probe deeper, prison life is right under the surface. Charles Murray sits hunched over a table, intently writing an essay. A 40-year-old Jamaican immigrant with gray hair, high cheekbones, and glasses. He shows me several poems he has written for his daughter. He has a 38-year sentence, drugs and murder. Before he came here, he says, he barely finished the ninth grade.
You come in here, you start writing, you forgot where you at. You start reading, you forgot where you at. Go over there on a typewriter, you forgot where you at. For 2.5, 3 hours, I escape out of prison, mentally.
Murray tells me the library is like that television show, Lost in Space, with a million galaxies to explore. Brenda Vogel uses a different metaphor about libraries. For her, the library is the theater, the museum, the civilization of the prison.
It's the place where people come in touch with culture, sometimes for the first time. Culture and language and aesthetics and beauty and art, it's all there.
But many people would argue that criminals don't deserve libraries. When I put this to Vogel, she replies that prison libraries are in everyone's interest. 95% of these prisoners are coming back into the community. Wouldn't it be best, she said, if they came back educated and civilized? Back at the men's prison, Adio Nasor says when the doors close and you're locked in your cell, there isn't much else to do but reflect.
You have nothing but time to think about, you know, just being isolated from society and loved ones. And then as we move throughout the institution, everything is just so controlled. We move like herds to the dining room together, to the yard together, to the gym. But coming to the library, it's like almost like an individual thing. It's like I'm thinking for myself now. I have to pick a book of my choosing and just kind of like free the spirit and free the mind. This is almost like a temporary escape for me, being here in the library.
Who among us have never opened a book and entered a different realm, or assumed the role of a different character? Reading has always allowed the mind to escape the bounds of time and space. Perhaps that's no less true on one side of the bars than on the other. Margot Adler, NPR News, Jessup, Maryland.